this is Brett Musburger, and you are listening live to Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio with my main man, Tony D.
All right, we'll be going to the Progressive guest line soon. Sean Merriman waiting for him to call in, talk some NFL as well as his lights out extreme fighting. We'll talk to him about that. Progressive Insurance, run out of protection with life, phone, and pet health insurance. Talking about the NFL, we are 9 weeks in. We're heading into week number 10. I love the mystery surrounding a lot of these teams. I love the idea that we don't really have any real definitive statements made about teams. There's a lot of things that are still up in the air when it comes to teams in this league. We don't have a lot of separation in the AFC, for example, which is something we did expect at the beginning of the season. We didn't think that there would be one team out of the bunch of good teams that have exploded. But we're also not seeing the level of quarterback play in the AFC that I think we thought. A lot of it had to do with injuries, and a lot of it has to do with just pretty good defenses. Sean Merriman joins us, former linebacker for the San Diego Chargers as well as the Buffalo Bills. He's also joining us to talk about his newest endeavor, Lights Out Extreme Fighting, and you can catch that on November 18th in Long Beach, California. You can also see it on the FUBU Sports app. How are you, Sean?
I'm doing well, my man. How you doing?
Appreciate it. Let's talk a little bit about Lights Out Extreme Fighting. What is it, and where was the concept? Where was it birthed from?
Yeah, so, you know, I've been around MMA, man, for 17 years. Back in 2005, 2006, during the offseason, man, I started to train with Randy Couture, Tito Ortiz, Chuck Liddell, you know, all these guys. And, you know, I've always felt, man, that it was going to help me be a better pass rusher, right, be able to use my hands and whatnot. And, in fact, I try to tell a lot of current players to pick up some form of combat sports during the offseason, whether it's boxing or whatever. It helps a lot when it comes to hand-eye coordination and being active with your hands. I launched Lights Out Extreme Fighting in 2019, and, you know, as you said before, right now we got Lights Out Extreme Fighting 12, man, coming up next weekend in Long Beach. You can get your ticket at lightsoutxf.com, and we'll be live on Fubo TV, Fubo Sports. So if you guys out there don't have Fubo, make sure you get it. We got a huge card coming up.
You also talked about how helping some athletes from other sports transition into MMA as you got into it. What did you find is important, and what do you find that they get out of it from one sport now into this?
I'll tell you this, man. You'll ask any former player, the hardest thing to do is make that transition right when you're done. And the game is, football is the greatest sport. You know, a lot of sports are greatest sports, but football is the greatest sport. But it's going to end one day. And a lot of these guys are still wanting to compete. And so we are actively transitioning, you know, former players that, you know, maybe only had a couple years in NFL, or some guys from the XFL, the USFL. A lot of guys are starting to come over because they see that there's real money and opportunity in the sport. So we make that transition for them at Lights Out Extreme Fight, man. And you know, we got some huge announcements coming up of some former football players that's competing.
Now, what do they say when they tell you? Is it harder than they thought, or is it just right? I mean, these are two extreme things, but I'm thinking the physicality of it is appealing.
Yeah, that's the number one, man. I think that, you know, because to play football, we're all like action junkies, right? We want action. We want, you know, physicalness. We love the bruteness and the physicality of the sport in general. So when you get a former athlete, especially a football player, that's already used to tackling and being, you know, having leverage and explosion, now these guys are just learning the discipline, right, getting better on the ground, and learning jiu-jitsu. You know, you'll be surprised how many current players right now are, you know, doing jiu-jitsu during the offseason, or Muay Thai, or boxing. There's a lot. And so they figure that, you know, when they get done, they still feel good. They can't play football anymore because they don't have an opportunity, so they come and take that opportunity over at Lights Out Extreme Fight.
All right, so let's get to the NFL. When you look at this, the way we are now after 9 weeks, when you assess the level of play, in 2003, does something stand out? Is there something that's missing or something better than you thought when you look at the games that are already in the books?
Well, look, coming from last year, we all obviously know how great Kansas City was, right?
Right.
I mean, it's obviously coming in, they're the defending champs. You got to put them number one always. I think that a lot of surprises this year in teams that kind of started slow. I was very shocked, not only in my Chargers, but teams like the Bengals, right, who struggled early on, great teams. And now they're starting to come around, right? That I would say that 5 to 6 week mark is where you start to see who teams really are, right? They all be hyped during the offseason, all the, hey, we got a great depth chart, we look good on paper. Now you kind of start to see what teams really are. Not a lot of preseason games played, right? And you don't get a chance to see the, get a whole lot of reps and see where the team is. So it takes a few weeks, man, to get these guys going, and you're starting to see right now who's who in the NFL.
How, when you were playing, how long did you get to sort of lament a bad loss? Like, every team has a bad loss. Like, you know, hey, look, we made a lot of mistakes. But then you got to get right back to work. But how long do you have? What is the window of time where you can really process what happened before you have to look ahead?
It's that Monday watching film. And when all the team get together and they pop on the film and you start to look at how close you were to winning games and what made you lose those one or two plays, those penalties, you're like, man, that's when you start kicking yourself. And right after you get done with that last film study, by the time you come back in on Tuesday for your treatment, your massages, whatever you plan on getting, Wednesday, you're back in action, man. The season's so short, and you got to have this short-term memory, because if not, you're just going to have these losses that hang over your head over and over and over again. And, I'll use San Francisco as one, man, a great team that had those three back-to-back losses, and it just seemed like they just kept going down a dark road, right? They couldn't get it right, injuries, Purdy hurt. Not playing well, guys missing, and then they just can't get out the slump. And so, you got that happens a lot. And that normally happens when teams are trying to find their way again, no matter how great they are.
We're all human, so I guess there's some elements of things in our brain, even in preparation, that we can't get out of. How often do teams overlook opponents? I mean, the guys that you're playing against could be your teammates next year. So I know you respect the athletic ability and the professionalism, but is there a lot of overlooking that goes on in the NFL?
I wouldn't say overlooking, but what happens is, and I'll use the Dallas Cowboys against the Arizona Cardinals, right? Obviously, Dallas is the better team.
Right.
But it seems like one team was up more than the other. And that, I wouldn't say overlooked. It's just one time, like a team is coming ready to play, and the other one isn't. Now, I'll use another example, the Ravens against the Lions. We all know the Lions is a really, really good team, right? They've been playing well the entire season, but the Ravens came out on fire, and it looked like the Lions just disappeared. So I wouldn't necessarily say that you get overlooked in the NFL, because we all know everybody on every roster, every guy can play. Every team come out Sunday, you don't know what's going to happen. You got to be ready. But when one team is up and they're ready to go and they got a different motivation than the other guys, that is evident. And once that happens, it's like you're trying to figure out how in the hell did this happen, because we know the team that lost is a better team.
When you look at defenses and the way they have to play now, and as the rules keep changing, what is the things that you like about it, but what are things that you're glad you don't have to do now?
Well, for one, I think the NFL did a great job at protecting players, right? The helmet contact, not being able to crack back block guys without them being able to see. There's a lot of injuries there. Horse collars, they've been talking about the hip drop tackles now. I get it, protecting guys. But also, too, let's not forget why we love the game, right? I'm talking about the entire country. Everyone here that I know loves football. And they love it because not everybody can do it. The physicality of it, the passion, the emotion that goes through the players and the fans, their favorite team, their favorite player. And so when you start to take away the ability for guys to go out and play the game the way it should be played, I'm afraid that long-term for the NFL, it could start turning people off and saying, hey, man, I love it, but, I don't think my team should have lost because he, touched the top of a quarterback's shoulder pad, right, or landed on him on accident or barely touched him. And these are game-changing penalties. And so long-term, man, you might have a fan or somebody out there, or people, that say, man, I'm tired of watching this because my team just lost because of a ridiculous penalty. And so, while I love the NFL, it's pushing safety and trying to show the youth, right? And that's really what this is about, because they want the youth to say, hey, this is the right way to tackle, this is the right way to go, because if not, it also could be a point where the NFL lose kids that could play in the NFL one day, but the parents are saying, hey, I'm not letting my kid play this game because it's too dangerous. So I get the give and take there, but it's still football, man. You can't take away too much away from the game, because then you start messing with the integrity of it.
Lights Out Extreme Fighting 12, November 18th, Long Beach, California. You can catch it on the FUBU Sports app. Former NFL linebacker Sean Merriman is behind it. Really great stuff. Thank you so much, and best of luck with Lights Out Extreme Fighting. I know it's a passion of yours because I follow you on Twitter, so I see all the energy that you put into this, my man. Well done.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Sean Merriman, again, joining us to talk about not only his newest endeavor, well, not really new endeavor. It's been around a while, Lights Out Extreme Fighting, but also some talk about the NFL and his experiences in that league. But as I said earlier, it is a chance for former athletes who still have that. That's got to be the toughest thing. A lot of us will retire when we aren't able to do stuff anymore. At an older age, when we're anticipating that we're not going to be able to do a lot of things, right? Like getting out of bed is a little tougher. Getting to the chair is a little tougher. Walking around the store is a little tougher. Like we're going to be 70. But imagine retiring at 35, 32, and you know you can still do things, but you just can't be at an elite level to play in the NFL anymore. What do? You know, some go into broadcasting, some stay within the sport, some want to do other athletic things, and that's kind of the thought process behind that sport.